Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, White Sox fans. My name is Brett Valentini, and welcome to Sox Populi Podcast 167, Soxivus Week 3. Here's the thing. We apologize for not being with you for appointed viewing or listening on our usual, like, Sunday, Monday avenue. The truth is, listen, I think all of you out there can understand Father Soxivus has been extra taxed. It takes a lot to dig all of the coal he needs out of the mines to drop in all of our White Sox fans' stockings this year. We get an extra helping this year. It's piling on this year. And so that meant like sort of double shifts to generate all the coal. Father Soxivus, the shoulder soreness, has it abated? Are you feeling a little bit more back to health after a really tough weekend of the coal gathering?
I'm working through it. Jerry Reinsdorf seems to be giving me a run for the money, but I'm determined to make sure that every Sox fan has coal in their stocking this season. So
that's just
I try to give.
You can always go to his stores if you really do fall short. It's just like, okay, Jerry, help me out. You've been stockpiling for 40 years. They give some up. And
Sox Fest was a twist that I wasn't expecting. So, you know, he really outdid me there, but I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, I'm sure after our break, we may have a little bit of free time to discuss maybe recent developments of the off season, because it just sort of keeps, we keep saying, I think Tommy, you're always nodding. Brian, I'm sure you're with us on this as well, where it's just like, we don't think we've hit bottom yet. And I mean, we've seen those confirmations almost day to day at this point, but we'll get to that. Brian O'Neill, of course, joining as well. Father Soxivus, Tommy Barbie, the point of all of this. Blame him if anything goes wrong with these podcasts or if you don't like them. I'm guessing after I speak my piece, maybe you won't like it, but hey, that's what we're here for, to make people angry, because you're the ones listening to or watching a White Sox podcast. We know you want to be angry if you're doing that. So come on, don't kid yourself. Like, you know, one of us is going to offend you. Get out of here. Feats of strength. Tommy Sakatuas, let us know what that's all about, and specifically maybe what the assignment was this year, the little wrinkle maybe you threw into it for week three this year.
Absolutely. In the spirit of the Getzian purge that we are supposedly living amongst, where Chris Getz pathetically said, I don't like this team.
Even though he helped make it.
You helped make the team, you helped develop the players, but you don't like the team. Whatever. That being said, he has decided he doesn't like the team. Pedro Grifol, when he has a thought, has decided that he also doesn't like the team. So let's operate under the assumption that pretty much everybody will be gone in some form or fashion. But it being the White Sox, they will never go the whole nine yards. There will be remnants of White Sox past somewhere on this team or in this organization. So the challenge this week is think about who's going to be the last man standing in this organization moving forward. We've had some very creative entries that go beyond the 40-man roster, myself included. But I think that it was really just kind of a thought exercise because everybody's assuming that Cease is going to be gone. I would equally assume that Luis Robert is going to be gone, but that's just me. But thinking about how things are developing in the free agent market, what does that look like?
Okay, that's the assignment. And because I am completely in the dark about how Brian's going to choose, I'm going to give him a little bit of free time to just mull it over as he's nodding along and following along and chuckling. So I am going to go right back to Tommy. There's also a companion piece coming up with this podcast, as often is the case, a written piece on site, including many people who were not able to. You can't blame them. I'd have a headache, too, and want to avoid this podcast if I could, but still wrote some about it. So we have a number of answers. And, of course, after the three of us speak our pieces, let's say maybe after the break, I'll summarize some of that. There are some people who I actually don't know. I'm not sure if they misunderstood these. I don't really know who they think their winner is. So there's just some question marks next to some names here. So maybe they'll be challenged to go back and actually, you know, boldface a name or something. So as Brian mulls, I'm going to kick it right back to Father Soxivus to explain his answer, because as he's already alluded, he sort of went off the board.
I did. And the reason being that the more I thought through how weirdly half-baked this offseason has been, for a team that I had zero expectations for going in. I mean, it's not like I thought they were going to go out and spend money, but it's just like the guys that they're pulling off the scrap heap. I'm like, all right, you've got 10 games here, 5 games here. These aren't people that you usually want to keep around. I don't see Luis Robert sticking around. I don't see Dylan Cease sticking around. If nothing else, I see them both getting flipped at the trade deadline. So I'm thinking to myself, all right, there's got to be someone here that's just going to be a figurehead for the rest of time besides Jerry Reinsdorf, because that felt like too much of a cop-out. Yeah. So I went with Tony La Russa, who is just advising. What he's advising, I don't know. What he says or thinks or does, I don't know. It could be that they reminisce about Branch Rickey and David Eckstein together. Like, I don't know what he does or what they do, but thinking about him officially as the senior advisor for the organization, I do think that you can draw parallels between some of the moves that are being made now, some of the moves that didn't feel quite like Rick Hahn being made previously. And there will be assumptions that his fingerprints are still very much on the roster and on the team's development cycle moving forward. So to me, I just think that as long as he is breathing in whatever cryogenic chamber that he's in, he will be the figurehead for the White Sox for however many years to come.
Tommy, right back at you. What do you think Tony thinks? Because this hiring came when he was in this gray area. He had health issues. He was sort of away from the team, even though I'm sure he and Reinsdorf were still playing like words with friends all the time, or
exactly,
you know, pouring drinks for each other, whatever. What do you think he thought of the hire? I'm going to guess he was not going to give a thumbs up on the hire of Pedro Grifol, but what do you think he thinks about it? Because that, in this case, this is one way he's a little handcuffed.
And in terms of what Tony La Russa thinks about Pedro Grifol,
you think any way he was like, oh yeah, it sounds like a good idea?
I think it was more philosophy than anything, where a lot of the Royals holdover, if you want to call it that, whatever this is, this weird fetishization of the Royals franchise that the White Sox seem to have, it very much is Tony La Russa / Cardinals adjacent to being grindy. We're going to focus on defense and speed. we're going to have pitch to contact. We're not going to have strikeout guys that throw high velocity. All of that is very much in that same vein and wheelhouse. So I don't think it was necessarily like La Russa advising, hey, this Pedro Grifol guy seems great. I think it was like they looked at the teams that he was affiliated with and said, yeah, this aligns with the vision.
Okay. So even though his name wasn't Pedro Eckstein,
exactly,
he was yeah. like, okay, it's close enough. Sort of,
we'll make it work. Yeah,
grindy. He must be grindy because I've never heard of him. He must be grindy. Okay, that's interesting. I would have thought he'd be like, oh no, if it's not, you know, David Eckstein or whoever. But yeah, that actually makes some sense because there's some weird the fetishization of like the whole state of Missouri. Apparently, we know. But see, the Royals don't even have a way. I guess they have a way. It's not a very thick book or very successful book, but okay. Great. Leave it to the White Sox to pursue the Royals way instead of even the Cardinals way, which is obnoxious, but okay.
Until at least that's a real thing.
Someone's successful, and it's a textbook that some of the players read, I guess. Okay, Brian has had plenty of time to mull it over. I've seen him like viciously like crossing answers out. I think he looked up a few verses to somehow color what his answer is going to be. So, all right, spotlight. I'm Brian O'Neill. Who is your, I don't know, who prevails in the feats of strength for you?
I'm going to start roster-wise. And okay. I mean, I agree with Tommy. I don't know if I'm positive that they're going to. I feel that in terms of trading Robert or Cease, they're going to hold out for too much and kind of screw themselves over. And in the process, maybe successfully keep good players. I don't know. But I think if you're looking at the roster now, the person they're never going to get rid of, that in 5 years, we're going to be like, oh, what the fuck? He's still on the team? It's Romy Gonzalez. And I'll tell you what.
Oh, that's a good one.
I was on
that Lori Garcia pipeline is strong.
Exactly. For whatever reason, I was looking up on MLB.com, which is not the best source, and their advanced stats had the extremely advanced stat of grounded a double play and grounded a double play opportunity. I mean, I'm getting too deep into analytics here with double plays. I don't want to.
We'll pull you back. Okay.
He had 12 grounded to double play opportunities, 0 double plays hit into, he hustles. They're broken up. The fielders missed. I don't remember every one of his at bats for the season. I can't replay them. Mm-hmm. But that's the kind of dumb shit that I think you're gonna be like, that kid just hustles. We need him in case one of our other 9 utility infielders gets hurt. And so, years from now, we're going to be thinking, hey, he's still on the team.
Yeah. Brian, he hustled so hard he got injured and missed it. It was on 60-day IL. That's hustle. That's grind. If you grind so much, you break yourself.
Yeah.
We need that guy. Yeah. That's a good call.
Hurt is the White Sox way.
It is. But
non-roster wise.
Okay. Go off the board.
You're going to look at, and I don't want to get into elemental poetry here or anything like that, but the last thing that's going to be there is the earth underneath their feet. Roger Bossard.
Yeah, that's fair.
Dirt never dies.
That's fair.
So,
I mean, Gene to Roger to, I mean, whatever sons or daughters Roger may have. I mean, it's going to be a Bossard. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Well into next century. That's true.
Yeah. The rains will come and the earth will dry and Bossard will still be there.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
That seems fair. All right. I'll take Brian's cue and I will, I'll straddle the fence as well. The wishful fan, which you don't often get from me in print, in video, or an audio, will say Luis Robert. I want him to be the winner of the feats of strength. I want him to have seasons of 100 plus. I'm not even going to get greedy. 100 plus games. So he's putting up the 3-4-5 WAR that make him, enough of a superstar that the White Sox, can't move. Sorry, Luis, you have a team of 4A players around you for years to come, but you're a White Sox player. Now, what Tommy intimated being, he's going to be gone or flipped at the trade, I see it more. He's not going to be healthy enough. And so, Getz will talk himself into, we need a guy. Doesn't matter that he gives you 3 WAR in 80 games. We need a guy, I have to have a guy who plays 150 games, if he sucks. Yeah. And make it, he can talk himself into the same way maybe Dylan though, if you dig into those numbers like our friend here, Brian O'Neill, does, you know that his season wasn't as bad, perhaps, as it appeared. He had this season where it's like, well, geez, if he has another one like this and his ERA is like 4, even though he's, you know, putting up good WAR numbers, he's clearly the only guy who can pitch for us. Well, then his market's going to be nothing and I'll get nothing for him. It's like there's this weird push to trade Dylan Cease, and it does seem a foregone conclusion. He will not be even a finalist in feats of strength because, you know, he could be gone as we're talking now. Luis, my heart wants him to be the winner because there's like the one guy. I'm not even so convinced about Dylan, but he's a pitcher, you know, who knows, he's got the crazy stash, he likes opening, you know, basketball cards. I mean, he's got a lot of other things going on, you know, his weird, you know, no vaccine. It's a lot of stuff happening there. A little too busy for me. Luis, though, he's got a lot of stuff going on, you know, with male model and, you know, MVP candidate.
Music videos.
Yeah, right. So, you know, I still hope he can, you know, keep it together enough to at least just be the one guy you would recognize any given day, even in the dugout, injured, but any given day in the lineup. That said, you know, if I had to guess, if I wasn't going with my heart, yeah, I'd say, sorry, Luis. And boy, that Romy Gonzalez sounds pretty sharp because it is going to be him or just another anonymous, you know, kind of guy. Maybe that turns into like Lenin Sosa or... Yeah, definitely. Gavin Sheets seems to, you know, beyond comprehension, be, you know, he is, again, like our starting right fielder going into the season. And, you know, again, no diss on Gavin, because if he was playing his regular position, I guess maybe he wouldn't be a negative player. Maybe he'd just be a nothing player. But anyway, yeah, off the board, and which is my answer on site. Yeah, I guess it's a weird one. But to me, it's the Chicago Cubs. The White Sox had an opportunity to take back a chunk of this city. I mean, we've referred to this many times. This gets under my skin. It's a bugaboo of mine that this is a Cubs town, blah, blah, blah. And I understand in Chicago right now, and perhaps for some time, certainly back to 1981 or 82, when the Chicago Tribune assumed ownership of one of the baseball teams and not the other, there's been a tilt that has pushed Cubs. That it becomes a tired type of storyline because in the last 10 years, hey, dummy Brett, you can't point at that anymore. The Cubs are a well-run organization, at least, you know, GM-wise, starting with Theo Epstein and on to whoever there is now. I don't pay close enough attention. I do know that they've managed to turn around a rebuild. They've gone from a World Series contender to turning around a rebuild to being basically a playoff, as much as I want to laugh at them for not making the playoffs last year. Well, okay. They had a chance to last weekend. Yeah. So I really can't get too down on them, even though, of course, I secretly delight in the fact that there's some pain on the north side. Clearly, they are a well-run enough organization in a bad division, but not as bad as ours, that they've somehow now spun themselves into the division favorite for this coming season and probably a likely playoff team, while the White Sox are in whatever hell they put us in now, where you check every box as a fan and, you know, I mean, or you issue a grade for every aspect of the team from a fan standpoint, and it's an F. This was an opportunity for the White Sox, as utterly insipid, I dare say far worse than whatever that clown's name is in Oakland, who's moving the team, the most insipid ownership and ownership group in probably all of sports, certainly in baseball, which is quite a competition. I mean, unfortunately, there's a competition from the South Side as well. Moving games from the WGN world, the hey, take it for free, which again certainly fueled a lot of that whole Cubs Town thing and this nationwide Cubs fandom and lovable loser being like a thing that people are like proud of, to, you know, now it's isolated on this bizarre, you know, insurrectionist network, which, you know, is a challenge, you know, is somewhat of a challenge to get, maybe not more so than the White Sox, but it's not as you know, pay no mind as it was with, you know, WGN and after school games and all that stuff. There are just so many openings for the White Sox to, including obviously with improved performance on the field, which we were, you know, promised or whatever, which was the natural cycle of competitiveness in sports. The White Sox had their downtime. This is supposed to be a competitive window, which shut basically after a year. So of course that was blown, but even the off field stuff, which you'd argue for fandom is, it, perhaps more important, it certainly has importance that rivals what the team's doing, wins and losses. The fact that the White Sox are now rivaling that disgusting team on the north side. I'm sorry if some of you are fans of both, and if Melissa was on the podcast with us, you know, I'm insulting her husband or Dante's dad or whatever other clown Cubs fans out there. I do not know how you live with yourselves. How in the world can you continue? Allie Allen, who is much seemingly like hated by the Southside Sox long-term fan base. I'm not really sure whatever happened there. He's been a very kind guy to me, and I've told him straight out, I have no clue. I don't care how long. He's older than I am. He's been a fan of the Cubs for longer, maybe, than I've been alive, or certainly longer than I've been a baseball fan. I do not know how you can continue to do that. The White Sox had such an opening here on tons of levels. Not only did they not take it, but now they are rivaling that disgusting Ricketts, DeVos, ownership, group, team, on that level. You hire and champion and soft pedal abusers, well, you know, now the White Sox are doing the same. You're going to trash your fan base? Well, you know, guess what? We're way ahead of you. The fact that there's really nothing, and we've said this on many podcasts, that there's nothing that the White Sox can point to, or we as White Sox fans can point to say, here's what we got better. The food, maybe? I don't know. The fact that a bigger percentage of the fans care about the game. I mean, we're talking crazy numbers because it's like, what's the percentage of 5,000 fans in our park versus, you know, right. You know, whatever that is over there. Such a failure. And you could tell me, you know, you're tilting at windmills. I know that I am, because I know this was already lost before this particular feat of strength. This has been a loss that's been probably years in the making. But it's a thing that jumped first in my head when you know, Tommy trotted it out again, that it's such an opportunity loss that even if the White Sox were not as competitive, the Cubs were winning division, the Sox, let's say, were a 500 team, or were falling short of the playoffs like the Cubs did last year. There's still something to take away from the fandom, from the ballpark experience, from the players on the roster, from perhaps the organization, the prospects coming up. There's just no aspect that we can point to right now. And we're going to get to it here in the second half after our break, because, of course, we have new news to talk about that sort of does fall a little bit into the feat of strength category. The White Sox, on almost a daily basis, and it's the off season. What's even going on? We know they're not going to actually be active. What's going on? They're still finding ways to break our hearts, to insult us, to say, you know what? We're actually going to compete with those scumbags on the north side, and we actually want to beat them. Somehow Jerry Reinsdorf went from being this guy who had all these championships. And there was a time I used to defend the guy, because it's like, well, you know what? You might not like him, or, well, whatever. He tore down Comiskey Park and broke Little Brett's heart. But he's got, you know, there's seven rings here. I mean, that says something. I don't know what it says at this point. This is a guy now that seems like he wants to compete on the Ricketts level. I mean, I understand you cannot descend into that kind of scumbagger. I don't care what kind of tax loopholes, or whether he's holding the Chicago up for the fan base up to go to Nashville or something. Who cares? That's nowhere near the same level as those dirtbags on the north side. But the fact that he even like wants to get into the team picture there and compete for the most disgusting ownership, you know, in the city, not only in the city, but in sports, is disheartening. The Cubs are my, as much as you both know, I hate to admit it, the Cubs are who prevails in the feat of strength. Sorry to take up so much time. I didn't mean to rant, but, you know.
No, you're absolutely right. But, yeah, that's heartbreaking. I knew a lot of people who were like, I could become a Sox fan, a lot of Cubs fan friends. Exciting young team. You know, everything was just going right. The Cubs were put out there, you know, paid to watch us play, and 50 cents out of every dollar goes to the reelection campaign for Trump. Like, hey, this is a lot of people just didn't want to, but they were walking up the staircase and then they just like fell off it. like it was so disheartening.
But it's happened every decade. I mean, in the 90s, Chicago was very much a Sox leaning town.
It definitely was.
Like, the only reason why I used to go to so many Cubs games growing up was because Cubs games were the ones that everybody gave away. Like, you had to know somebody to get a White Sox ticket. And the strike that Jerry Reinsdorf started screwed that whole thing up for the White Sox. And then a decade later, you had the early 2000s and then the 2005 team. You had a really aggressive but semi-functional organization that went way off the rails between Ozzie Guillen and Kenny Williams and led to just a huge mess that Jerry never cleaned up. Mm-hmm. And that was another instance where it's like the White Sox have always been on the precipice of really becoming just as loved as the Chicago Bulls, which I know is another Reinsdorf organization, that even all this time later, from any sort of relevancy, still gets the benefit of the doubt because people remember that dynasty. Mm-hmm. If the Sox had any sort of a run like that, even just two in a row, they would be in a place where year after year, even in years like this, they would still be treated in a totally different way than they are right now. And they've never seen that through. And that's something I've never really understood. And if I ever got the chance to interview or talk to Jerry Reinsdorf, I would always wonder that, because for a man that has always been so incredibly concerned about not so much brand value, but visibility of his brand and like the value of that entity, I've never understood why he would always get his team to the brink of that level of greatness, but never do just the little things that he would have to do. And it's not even spending money, just like the little things that you have to do from an organizational standpoint to see it over the top.
Before the break, I just want to insert, I've told the story before, you both probably know it as well, but I'm framing it in a context here to shit on the Cubs just a little bit more, or at least, I don't know, maybe have some empathy for their fans, at least the decent ones, whoever they are. Are there some? I don't know. I don't want to get into it. The White Sox World Series, I mean, as wonderful as that run was, I was lucky enough, as I repeat all the time because I'm obnoxious, I got to witness all of the full home run of playoff games. I mean, that's unforgettable. You cannot replace that. To make a very, very long story short, I was supposed to write a book about that season. It was the coolest idea ever, whatever. And on the day of game four of the World Series, which, by the way, then winning the World Series was going to ensure, because God knows you cannot commit to publishing a White Sox book unless they do something like win a World Series, right? That's literally what I was told. So, okay, we are hours away from that actually happening, and I'm told that because there's a prior relationship with the Chicago Tribune, there's a Tribune writer who wants to write a book, and he's going to get to do the book, and I no longer have a book. And, no tears. But of course, that always sort of shadows the World Series win for me. Of course, I've, gotten over to the point where I can still certainly enjoy and celebrate and love, especially as the World Series championship gets further and further in the rearview mirror, and certainly not out there on the horizon. But there's just that little, at least for me, that just little part that's like, oh man, yeah, that's part of the memory. Now, here's the part I wanted to get to. Apologize for the 3-minute intro, but imagine if you win a World Series for the first time in 108 years, and then just mere days later, that election happens. You tell me that does not decide to shadow and at least partly, if not fully, ruin the celebration of that.
I know for a lot of fans it did. Yeah. I mean, it's too. And actually, before we jump into break, then something Tommy said about, we did this in the 90s, we did this in the 2000s, we did this now. Maybe what lasts, maybe the thing that passes everything, is this essential White Sox-ness. Like, times change, players change, management change, maybe even ownerships change, but there's something that just can't get over the hump, this kind of spirit of failure that permeates your organization. So even when everyone's gone, it's like, what is that, the ship of Theseus thing? Like, even if you replace every part bit by bit,
it's still.
Like, maybe that essential self, unfortunately, is what's going to last.
And those of you who are dutiful and don't just listen, meaning, you folks who aren't lazy, God bless you for being lazy enough to actually listen to this podcast, but who actually read our site, you'll see that that's actually my prediction. I think that's the starkest aspect of my feats of strength entry, is I don't think this time, in contrast to what Tommy said, because there's a cycle of these things and the White Sox have crapped the bed enough to be like, okay, we had the world and then we threw it away. We had the world and then we threw it away, and Jerry's off somewhere else, or he's running the Bulls, wherever, it's thrown away. I do not see how the White Sox quickly or if ever get out of this. And I know that's very doomsday because all this stuff is cyclical and the white, it'll be a White Sox, you know, city in, you know, 2040 or 20, what, I don't know, but this seems awfully different. And to strike on what Brian just said, now we're getting into a part where, you know, younger fans maybe don't know much other way. They've maybe only known the rebuild era. So they really do. They might think of themselves as being this like lovable loser kind of fan. Like, oh man, that's just, that's the White Sox.
They are.
We're all fans who are veteran enough to know that is not what the White Sox were, but now we can't make that claim. We cannot huff and puff and jut our chin out and say, that's not the White Sox, what the White Sox are, because that is what they are now. And they have gone so deep digging now that I don't know how it's a train at the end of the tunnel. It's not a light. It's deep. And I just don't know when it's going to be. So unfortunately that means next year, 365 days from now, this feat of strength.
We'll be right back at it.
Just as dark, probably starker. And there might not be it might just be the three of us staring into your screen. So, earmark it. It's going to be a tasty, tasty podcast. We're going to take a break. We're going to summarize a couple other entries. Maybe we'll have a little discussion on that. And I don't know, maybe we'll talk a little bit about what's going on in baseball, guys. We'll be back in a minute. Hang with us because, I don't know, we'll kick the ass of the White Sox some more in the second half. So hang out.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
White Sox fans, it is Sox Populi. Well, you know, Sox Pop. Drive from the Latin, 167. This is, we are celebrating Soxivus Week 3. And lucky you, there's a Week 4. It's going to be tucked in your stocking or nestled under the tree or one of the candles or the Kwanzaas or whatever the other things that are all being celebrated. We do still have another gift for you. It's coming in just a few days. And that is going to be, Father Soxivus, give us just a little preview of what that's going to be.
Well, and, you know, the sharp contrast to what you just talked about with, you know, the three of us basically staring into the abyss, right? Yes. Things are going. Let's think about what miracle there might be. Is it that Chris Getz is a competent GM? Is it that there's no embarrassing thing that happens in the organization for maybe more than
cross
a week?
That off.
Like, can we stop resetting the counter every 4 days? Like, I don't know what it is, but whatever that miracle is that you look forward to or think might happen, or is just silly enough that you want to write about it anyway, that's what we're going to talk about. Yep. For our Festivus miracle.
Miracles. Okay, that is coming soon.
Love it.
Let's wrap up at least a little bit. Again, if you've read, then it's like, well, Brett, you're wasting my time. I'm gonna switch over to an easy listening station. I'll come back to the podcast later. Let's see. There are some writers who, if you read their entries, you will not really be able to decide who they think the person or thing that will prevail in the feats of strength. Melissa and Dante both wrote some stuff and mentioned some players, but I don't think we really got an answer from them. So maybe you can tell me in the comments of the story or of this podcast, let me know, because I'm a little clueless at this point. Malachi psychs the fans, but he's pointing to Luis Robert as who prevails. And let's face it, that seems like a likely one if he's not jettisoned by
a popular choice. Gets.
It is a popular choice.
I don't want him to be Mike Trout. Is really what I don't want to have happen, where it's just like, here's this man busting his ass for, 100 games, flagging down fly balls in right field because Gavin Sheets is still out there and not playing in effective right field. And that's just his life.
Well, I'm selfish, Tommy. I mean, if he's got to be something, I'll have him be Mike Trout. I want somebody to watch. Yeah, I don't care about watching Andrew Benintendi for the next 5 years or whatever it is. Jeez, how much do you want me to suffer? Thanks, Tommy. Well, let's think about Luis.
No, I mean, it's just like, it would be that's why I feel bad for Mike Trout, sure, because like that team is so awful. And even when Ohtani left and you saw, it wasn't real outrage. I know it was fake outrage, but just the fact that there was even fake outrage about Ohtani leaving. It's like the Angels organization, yeah, had two of the most consequential baseball players in recent history and could barely make the fucking playoffs. Like, mm-hmm, I don't even know how that's possible. Mm-hmm. And they still screwed it up. Mm-hmm. That's beyond White Sox. So I, mm-hmm, guess we're not that bad because we only have one generational talent, mm-hmm, instead of two. But I don't know if I could just stomach watching Luis Robert and a bunch of bums for the next 5 years when Robert's the one that's getting yelled at by Pedro Grifol when he feels like setting the culture mood.
Well, I just stamped all, I mean, this is common practice for me. I just stamped all of your contracts for the next year. So, Tommy, you have to care for the next year. You got no choice. You're contractually obligated. So, sorry, buddy. Okay, yeah, then we can feel good about him. Yeah, again, that's another thing for the podcast. 365 days from here. Allie Wessel also cites the fans. She, you know, in true scrappy blue collar Sal side, especially now that she's I think basically in Brown.
She's there. Course. Yeah.
You know, it's like, come on, you know. So yeah, she's stepping up saying we will prevail. God bless her for that. I wish I had her heart and faith and youth and all that stuff and proclivity toward coffee mugs and soups. Joe Reeses, Super Joe. I mean, go figure. I mean, I admire this guy. He's our brainy guy. He's our Sox Minute champ. He's twisting himself into a pretzel that says Michael Soroka is the winner prevail, the feats of strength. I don't know if he's got a lot of money that we're not aware of. He's going to buy the team, or I'm not really sure. I didn't read his entry closely enough to know exactly how.
I get where he's going with that, though. I think the
White Sox. Maybe he wins because he doesn't have to pitch.
Well,
how about that?
That, or it's just like the White Sox are in this long purgatory period for long enough where he just is that guy that's around.
Yep. Do two or three starter for a bad
team. Exactly. Where it's like,
I can see that.
You look back and you're like, their number three starter had a 6 ERA. That doesn't seem accurate. And it's like, no, Mike Soroka was that guy. Like, I could see that.
But he had that good game against Minnesota in August. You're like, oh, yeah, that's
right.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Pencil him in for number two next year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the like looking back at Jaime Navarro when he was on the White Sox, and it's like, how is this man a professional baseball
player? God, the abyss was like figurative, but okay. Yeah, it's nice and chilly out. I'm going to strip my shirt off and run through the streets. Okay. Oh, geez, Tommy. A Navarro reference. That might be a first. That might be a first on this podcast. Okay, so the Romy Gonzalez of the pitching rotation. Okay, I see the logic now. Way to go, Joe. And Dealey Ritchie says, because I think she's got some hunch that in the sophomore year big contracts that players do well, it is Andrew Benintendi. Of course, no one's going to take him, so we know he should probably be around for a while. That's not the silliest, you know, notion. I mean, though it's a big contract by the White Sox standards. Of course, a lot of other teams were just taking on. Who cares? You know, like Atlanta's just trading for guys and just like, you know, crapping them out because it's like, okay, you know, whatever. Here's your pink slip. You know, here's your $4 million. You know, go play for someone else. The White Sox, you know, I don't know if they're going to be clever enough to deal Andrew, or they're going to value his projected 1.1 WAR for next season.
Positive WAR.
Yeah, okay, so that wraps up unless we have some late entries which were not available at press time. Hey guys, let's anything happening with I'm not in Chicago. I'm not really on the pulse of the news, at least certainly in the offseason. It's just sort of hard to keep up. Has there been any like weird fan alienating moves the White Sox have made like in the last, I don't know, 8 hours? Because yeah, I'm behind.
I mean, Brooks Royer still has 3 hours left to, you know, add something else.
Make it worse?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, no, technically not just White Sox ticket holders. It's really only those that have suites.
Oh, really? Like those.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it.
I could see that being the next level. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, for those of you that wanted to have Sox Fest, now you can go. Asterisks. assuming you are a season ticket holder. Mm-hmm.
SoxFest ticket prices went up by like $5,000.
Yeah.
Or 4,000, you know, whatever, $1,000. Yeah. Okay. Reasonable.
It says there's more information to be released. Is it going to resemble SoxFest at all? Or is it just like you get to talk to Ron Kittle for 3 hours?
Yeah, it's probably that.
Yeah. Can you imagine how bad Garfine this is actually going to be?
Yeah. It's going to be Chuck Garfine running around talking about how Pedro Grifol didn't get a fair shake and, you know, interviewing fans.
Yeah, I mean, not to betray too much inside information, but what they get now in the suites is like a buzzed, you know, Ron Kittle, like dropping by, yeah, and like saying off color things. I don't see how that's going to be much different here. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be a little bit more stuffed shirt, but, and, you know, there'll be like a little bit of free food, but, you know, if you want like toppings on your elote, you know, it's like, you know, you do have to pay or something.
An extra $30. Yeah.
Can you imagine how loud, I mean, you know, SoxFest is what it is. And I mean, there's a lot of cool aspects of it. And some of it's like, oh geez, I'm in a line again, or I missed all this other stuff. But, yeah, I mean, that's just the nature of some of these, you know, events. You go to Disneyland, you're not going to, you know, hit all your rides or whatever, but I got to imagine this is going to be rough. You know,
it's just an extremely self-congratulatory event. People can congratulate themselves for affording to be there. Like, if you can drop money on White Sox season tickets, especially suites, you probably don't care that much about money. Or, I mean, like, that amount of money doesn't matter to you. So it just, like you said, just, I can't imagine it being enjoyable, except in that very kind of country club sort of way.
Yeah. I mean, I think what I find amusement from is that it very much proves the point that we've all been making all along about how the franchise is afraid to actually interact with the fan base. And by saying, okay, we're going to have an event, which we still don't know what this event actually is, and it's only open to season ticket holders, you're very much saying, we don't want to interact with the general public, but we will interact with the few thousand of you that have vested interest in the organization to help prop us up and make it look like we care when we really don't.
Yeah. Two points, Tommy. Yeah. 2 points. The what's happening?
Oh, you got balloons.
Why did I do balloons? Wait a minute. If you do this gesture, does it do balloons? Holy Christ. I'm getting really frightened because now I know they're listening. See, this whole time, let's see, where is it? The shadow here? This is not like a shadow from lighting, you know, with my, you know, half-ass setup here. This is like the ghost of La Russa. This is Reinsdorf right here. You know, this is Christmas Carol right here.
It's Boyer. It's, you know, he's got his agents out.
So with the balloon thing, wouldn't that be awful if you're doing like a telehealth session and your doctor's like, you have 2 weeks to live?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Yeah, you do the gesture. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm sure that's a scary thing. I'm sure it's happened. Okay, let's see. The 2 points were, okay, where are the balloons, Brett? Where are the balloons? Okay, first of all, they're timing it right at SoxFest. And I understand there's somewhat limited maneuverability, but that's a middle finger. And number two, if you're a season ticket holder, okay, let's say, how many people are going to take, let's say 5,000 people are going to take advantage? Probably not. But okay, whatever that number is, if you even had the forum to say, Q&A with Chris Getz, and I doubt they're going to do any kind of that kind of exposure, but say you did, and you start getting uppity, and you start acting up and voicing some real concerns, or even just not even angry, not cussing, you know, not ugly fan, but just some real stuff. They got you. I mean, SoxFest, I'm sure they still got you, but they're like, okay, well, waiting list for the next section over next year? Well, maybe, but probably not. That's a weird little thing, which, again, they're controlling the event. You accepted the ticket. Now you're theirs.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, it is such a weird, weird way to go about it. And I would like to think that somebody in that organization has enough self-awareness to realize how badly that looks, especially in contrast with the Cubs announcement that came out like the day before. Like, I just, it's bad. And I'm sure as more details come out, it's just going to look worse.
Yeah. I know Josh or whoever like put it out there, but do we have any sense of was that something that was like actually like tweeted? Or was that something that was sent that, you know, the sort of pulled?
It was sent to
it's not as if it was so brassy. It was like, okay.
No.
I mean, it's bad enough.
You don't get balloons for that. I don't get that, but that's fine.
Oh yeah, I dare you. Come on. Whatever that's, I don't know what happened there. I like it though.
But I just, nine of balloons. I mean, no, it wasn't like an email that went to all fans, but at the same time, if anyone that works in the organization or any public facing company, you know that information like that is going to get shared immediately. So I don't think it's not like they didn't think about it.
Yeah.
There's a chance that in the very White Sox backwards way of thinking, that they thought this would incentivize people to buy season tickets in the next month so that you too could share a plate of cheese and crackers with Brooks Boyer. I was sitting on the fence before. Mm-hmm. I guess one day in an airport Hilton listening.
I can hear that phone script now. It's like, hey, do you want to be able to talk to Chris Getz? Well, you get season tickets. You can come on down to FanFest.
Like, hello. All right. Hello, prospective season ticket holder. Would you like to be part of an exclusive Q&A with Pedro Grifol?
Have you ever wanted
to find out what he's going to say?
A culture 500 times in an hour? No, it's not.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a... That's like the weirdest survey that you could ever take. It's like, hey, how about you give us money and then we'll let you possibly talk to people that are affiliated with the organization.
Yeah. Think about when, when the kids could play and they made the playoffs in 2000, yeah. My dad and I got hyped. So we got, I don't remember. I don't think it was a full, but I mean, we got a pretty substantial season ticket. Of course, you know, that excitement burned off. Same with the World Series, right? Okay. Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. my God. You know, which is the way things are supposed to go, right? And then suddenly you have like a waiting list for season tickets, right? But back then, I guess it would be 2006. Not only did you get invited to go to watch the screening of whatever the championship,
the movie,
which is pretty cool. Because mm-hmm. I was sitting like, I mean, on one hand, there was Tribune editor and, Sox mistreater Dan McGrath. But then like, two seats over with me was Minnie Minocho. So, I mean, I was like, okay, this is sort of cool. You were a little bit hobnobbing in the dead of winter. It really did sort of give you hope. And of course, at that time, we thought we had a dynasty, right? But then also then there was the... Grinder. I mean, of course, everything was Grinder then, like Grinder Day or something, where you actually got, I think there were a few days and you could sign up for one where you got to, you obviously posted the trophy, you got to go on the field, you got to go in the dugout, you got to, what I mean? That's typical fan outreach stuff. But think that's what they were doing, at a time where, I guess things were, I guess they were being run a little bit better.
But that's what teams are supposed to do. It's never a pay to play. It's not like, hey.
With like, your ticket, you get a coupon for one churro.
Right. Like, oh, the kids want to run the bases? Hold on. How many tickets have you bought this year?
Mm-hmm.
Two? Yeah. Sorry, Jimmy. You got to go. Got to go back to your seat.
Like, they put up a little toll booth at each base.
Right.
Yeah. We did truck in the artificial turf we pulled up in 1975. It's available in this other ballroom. The kids can run there. You're not going to touch the field during the season.
Exactly. Yeah.
They might get confused with some of the actual players, but interesting breaking news. Seemed sort of fitting with, our despair over the sadness of Feats of Strength, where just in this group, the answers were Tony La Russa, Roger Bossard, the legitimate one, let's face it, I mean, although Romy is, that's a good one, but
Romy
might not be alive. I don't know.
I mean, Romy might be playing here for 20 years at the rate things are going.
Especially, here's the connection. If Tony's still around, Romy, he'll be manager when he decides to hang it up. And then the Cubs. So that's sort of the vibe of this Feats of Strength. Maybe it didn't go, probably actually went exactly the way you thought it would when you drew it up there, Father Soxivus. So well done. We executed, I think, pretty well for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
Okay, in just a mere few days, I'm not really sure when we'll like trickle it out there. Sometimes, families, like open a gift on Christmas Eve, or I'm not really sure how the other, faiths do it, but I'm sure there's a way to try to cheat, or when the kids are being obnoxious enough, it's like, okay, yeah, just hold them all. I just want this to be over with. Hat tip to Tommy there, because he is about to embark in that crazy odyssey for 2023. I think it's going to be a little Christmas Eve treat. We'll trickle out there. That'll be the next one when we're coming out there. And let's face it, It's heartwarming. If it's like
it is
tundra out there in Chicago, it's going to melt that. You're going to feel so warm by these Saxivus miracles. And you might have enough faith. Well, I won't say that you're going to become a season ticket holder and get to be part of that special Sox Fest elite.
How else will you go to Sox Fest?
That's true.
The only way.
I mean, that Palmer House Hilton is, I mean, that's a fine. Oh,
you know they're not going to have it at the Palmer House.
No. You have it in a parking lot, a shopping mall.
It's going to be in Lot G.
Yeah. You people say you love to. Come on. Just substitute a snowball for a bag. Right. Come on. despite the joviality, the despair riddled joviality of this podcast, we might actually have some. Oh, I don't know. I won't, but some folks appearing on our special, let's just say maybe Christmas Eve or Sunday podcast for our Saxivus Miracles might be bringing so much heat and happiness and joy. Or let's face it, Father Saxivus is going to be so dead fatigued. Oh, he's going to be punchy. So you know he's going to have some fun things to say because he's just dead beat. And, you know, hopefully that'll carry us all at Southside Sox through the end of the year. And then really once Father Time turns that calendar over to January 1st, then it really starts to get real. 2024 is here, and man, people, I tell you, it is going to be the worst. We're going to try to make it as fun as possible. We're going to, I mean, you know, we're going to laugh despite, you know, through the tears, but this 2024, I've yet to see anything that tells you it's not going to be, maybe by a fair margin, the most painful season we have ever seen as White Sox fans. And so maybe knowing that going in, it's like you're at the top of the toboggan hill. We're going to just dive into it. And man, we are going to just, our eyes are going to burn out. But this time next year, I guess we'll be chucking each other on the shoulder saying, like, we made it. I mean, those of us who live, those of us who do survive it, because I'm not certain we're all going to. There's already, you know, rumblings.
A whole new meaning to enjoying the ride.
Oh, God, think about that. Oh, Lord help us. Well, Brian and Tommy, Father Saxivus, thank you for making this a relatively intimate, go figure, as the White Sox fan base. It's not getting smaller. It's just getting more selective. I guess so is our podcast participation. So, hey there. I'll be talking to you alone on Sunday night. See you next time around for Saxivus Miracles. Yeah, we'll be at you on Sunday. Hang with that, because that might actually be slightly brighter, but we'll see. I know I'm going to take the under, but Brian, Tommy, please do some of the heavy lifting and make people happy out there. I don't know if I can. All right. Thanks, everybody, for reading, watching, all that stuff. Thanks for sticking with us. We know you sort of don't want to, but appreciate that somehow, despite it all, you crawl through the glass that is White Sox fandom to hang out with us. And hopefully you can laugh along with us, because what else can you do at this point? This is rough. And the season hasn't even started. The year hasn't even started yet. The season hasn't started. And most importantly, fake Sox Fest, Ritzy Country Club. What's the country club called in Caddyshack? Whatever that is. That country club Sox Fest is not even upon us yet. We're still about a month away from that. So I don't know. We'll be there. I'm sure we'll have live coverage from that Sox, because I'm sure
we'll get an invite.
Oh yeah. No,
Tommy, let's just send you and then you can be our plant. Ask all the tough questions that'll get you kicked out before it even starts. Okay, well, thanks everybody for listening. We'll be back at you in just a matter of a few days, and maybe it'll be brighter. It won't be for me, but we'll do our best. We promise we'll do our best.